Very interesting how I didn't realize what a perfect presentation that was to segue into what I will be talking about. And just by way of introduction, I am Judy Nurseegian with Our Bodies, Our Selves, which used to be called the Boston Women's Health Book Collective. It's still our legal name. And I did bring some handouts. I noticed that they all disappeared in the first few minutes. So I'm going to let you know that if you want to come by the Women's Caucus booth, which is the last row, 2500, down a little bit. You can see sample copies of Reproductive Health Matters, and I have one here on maternal mortality and morbidity. Is pregnancy getting safer for women? RHM is produced out of London, and it's a fabulous resource, and you are able to get a free copy sent to you if one of the free copies at the booth is not available. I know most of the ones here are taken, but I'll leave this here for you to look at afterwards. I also want to say that in terms of what we're debating in the United States right now, healthcare reform, women's needs, some of the very issues you raised come front and center for women as we define our needs going forward with some sort of healthcare reform proposal. And there is a fabulous coalition of groups who started something called the Raising Women's Voices campaign for the healthcare we need. And I have a little fan here with the URL for the website. And there's also a yellow flyer that describes a speak out tomorrow afternoon that Raising Women's Voices is sponsoring, and you can get more materials also at the booth about Raising Women's Voices. The flyer out back is this yellow thing. I also will have some materials out back, some of our newsletters from Our Bodies, Our Selves that describe in more depth some of the translation adaptation projects. I'll only begin to say a little bit about some of these today, but there's a lot more you can find out at our website, in the newsletter, and in that sense, I hope that you'll turn to that resource. Let me begin also by saying I don't have my second slide as my conflict of interest statement, but I did submit it, and I have no conflicts of interest, so I want you to all know that. I'm going to need those glasses too. Just switch back and forth a little bit here. These translation adaptation projects that have developed around the globe each come out of a different set of circumstances where somebody got a copy of Our Bodies, Our Selves in whatever edition, brought it back to their women's group, approached us and said, you know, could we do our own version of this book? In the early days, in the 70s and early 80s, many of these were straight translations. But since then, most of the women's groups have identified very clearly the need for adaptation, making something linguistically and culturally relevant. And they've taken off with very exciting projects. And we've helped them with technical assistance and sometimes with fundraising. Just want you to know that Our Bodies, Our Selves started in the spring of 1969 when a group of women at a women's liberation conference got together, and one of the workshops grew into a small group of women that continued to meet. And in December of 1970, the first newsprint edition of Our Bodies, Our Selves came out. It was called Women and Their Bodies. And Our Bodies, Our Selves, which was the title it took in the first reprinting in 1971, first few months, it still looked like this. This is the cover, and those are all yellowed newsprint copies. If you have one, you know how delicate it is right now. Eight editions later, we have the 2005 Our Bodies, Our Selves, which is the first time we really passed the torch to the next generation of women. A younger woman was the lead editor. There was an editorial team. I served on it. But many of the contributors and many of the reviewers represented men and women who were coming up through the ranks in terms of women's health activism. And I would say we had women from their late teens up until their early 80s looking at this book, participating in one way or another. And this pink book is the book that many of the women's groups in other countries are now working with. I just want to give one example of how global disparities continue to be so stark. Just think about how industrialized countries, 1 in 7,300 women die during pregnancy or childbirth. In Africa, the figure is about 1 in 26 women. Obviously, this varies from one country to another, but that's just one of the most stark examples, and it's why the Reproductive Health Matters issue on maternal mortality is so important to look at in terms of what people are trying to do to reverse this really striking figure. This Polish edition of Our Bodies, Our Selves came out several years ago, and one of the reasons I love this project is that the women who coordinated it got to some of the radio sort of luminaries, rock stars, and they did spots on radio and increasingly in television to highlight some of the key points in the book so that they could get into popular culture and also use electronic media as a way of transmitting some of the messages within the book. Many of these countries have large numbers of people who cannot afford to buy a book, even if it exists, so you've got to get the messages out in other ways. This is the Armenian edition from 2001, but there's going to be a second edition using new information in our 2005 edition coming out in early 2009, same coordinating group. And the woman who coordinated this, Dr. Mary Khachikyan, was pilloried in the press with when this first edition came out, because she was promoting contraception, complete information about reproductive health needs, and of course the memory of the Armenian genocide is still raw in the minds of many, and there are some really conservative forces in society that don't want to see any conversation about contraception. So they accused her of genocide and all kinds of rather bizarre things. The younger generation, of course, doesn't share any of this view. So when she formed this group, you could see, I visited once, my only time in Armenia, that she's there, maybe one or two other midlife women. Most of the women working on this project are much younger women, and they see the desperate need for this kind of information. This is the Korean edition, which came out in 2005, and it's a very successful adaptation, and that group continues to be very, very active at the political level around policy issues. When there was the scandal with Dr. Huang, who basically coerced some of the younger researchers to donate their eggs for somatic cell nuclear transfer experiments, this group was part of the Korean Women United that went to the press and went to the government, because in the beginning they were just angry at him for falsifying data, nothing about what he was doing to women's health and well-being. So they were, and they are still, a wonderful group at the activist level. The Bulgarian edition was produced by a group back in 2001, and the woman who helped start this came to the Harvard Graduate School of Education some years ago and began to meet with some of the folks who worked on the very early translation adaptation of Our Bodies, Their Cells into Spanish. She began to meet some of those adapters. She began to meet some of the other women who came to the States to visit. And then she went back and worked with a small coordinating group to produce this Bulgarian edition. This is the Spanish language adaptation, Nuestros Cuerpos, Nuestras Vidas. And Esther Shapiro, where are you, Esther? Back in the back, if Esther is one of the lead people on this 2000 edition, if you want to talk about NCNV with Esther afterwards, I'm sure she'd be happy. This did involve about 20 groups in Latin America, but it was coordinated from Boston, and it's a very long saga, which I won't get into right now, but it's a the last Spanish edition before this was a more or less a straight translation back in the 1975-76, before we even appreciated the extent to which cultural adaptations would come to the forefront. We just simply had $3,000 set aside in our contract with Simon & Schuster to help pay for Spanish translation. And we got approached by an Argentinian woman who'd recently moved to Spain and a Mexican-American woman who had found each other and decided they needed to translate this book into Spanish. So that's how the very early 1976 translation came out. And we self-published with money from the Arco Foundation and Helena Rubinstein, no less, to produce something that was used by farm workers and also somewhat in Latin America. Japanese edition came out quite a while ago, and this one of the things I want to say about this is that some of the language used to describe women's genital parts was very pejorative, demeaning, and they decided they were going to create new language to describe the vulva, to describe, you know, basically the genital area, and now their terminology has made its way into the Japanese dictionary. So women don't have to confront this kind of disparaging language when it comes to their body parts. There's a group in Nigeria that's creating alternative formats like posters and stickers for the canoe transport system. They are reaching thousands of women using local dialects, and they're taking content out of the book. But there's no way they're going to produce a book that anybody could have access to. It's much more shortened messages in settings where women will be sure to be able to reach women. This is a Telugu edition, 100,000 Questions About Women's Health. It's not a direct translation adaptation of Our Bodies, Ourselves, but what we call an inspired edition. And it was produced in India back in 1991, though not in print. There are still copies circulating. This is the Romanian edition, published in 2002. This is the Tibetan edition, which ended up being two volumes. And it was a group of Tibetan midwives, Tibetan nuns. Why did I say midwives? Oh, I know why. Because it was a Dutch midwife who connected with them when she was working in Dharamsala and brought a copy of one of the English editions, and they decided that they had to create something for themselves. And this turned out to be an interesting project involving very old and very young women. There's Dechen, who's one of the coordinators of the project. But here's a picture of a younger nun and older nuns reading the various two volumes of Our Bodies, Ourselves. And there are other pictures like this where they're in conversation with one another. This was a landmark effort because the women in these nunneries and in convents and had very little information, didn't understand anything about menstruation, basic reproductive functioning. So if there were problems, they didn't know what to do. So they got this information simply because this Dutch midwife happened to be there and visit with them, and the rest is history. The Serbian edition was produced in part during a very traumatic period. Some of the Serbian women described husbands coming home after being in some of the Bosnian rape camps and traumatized themselves with post-traumatic stress disorder for sure, but of course turning against their wives and their children and starting to beat them in ways they had never done before. That picture, by the way, in the cover is from the first ever Take Back the Night march in Belgrade, Serbia, organized by women and some men. This is the Franco-French edition produced by a group of women in Senegal. Came out in 2004, and some of the interesting challenges they had is that unlike in the United States where the cultural norm is being very thin or looking like an hourglass figure, so you have to get cosmetic surgery or whatnot, the ideal figure was to be very large and plump, and so there were rising rates of diabetes and health problems associated with diets that were largely the result of trying to aspire to a large body type. And Kodu Bop, who's a journalist on the left there, is the coordinator of this project. There she is with one of the co-founders of Our Bodies, Ourselves, Jane Pincus. Because she had been in the field of journalism and women's rights, began to make linkages with public health folks, with practitioners, and started to create language that did reflect where women were at, but tried to draw them into a discussion about what really is good for our bodies, much the way in which you were commenting upon, that you really have to have good information to begin with, and you have to debunk myths about what's good for you. These are just some of the places where there are editions in progress. I want to say a little bit about Turkey. The coordinating group there is called Mavi Kalem. They're an intergenerational group of women. They've positioned their website as a key networking and lobbying tool for women's groups across the country, and they've used it as an outreach to publicize and gather women's personal narratives for the Turkish adaptation, which will be coming out within a year or so, we hope, in 2009. They expect to post excerpts from all the chapters to expand access to in both Turkey and Cyprus. In Israel, we have a coordinating group called Women and Their Bodies that's launching a website in January, both in Arabic and Hebrew. And these are two editions they're working on in Arabic and Hebrew. And by the way, this is a tall order to be a group of Palestinian and Jewish Israeli women working together right now because of all the tensions. And they're committed to showing that there can be collaboration here and productive results. There are roughly 3.5 million women, of which roughly 391,000 read Arabic, and 300,000 teenagers in Israel and millions of other Arabic-speaking women in the region, all of whom will benefit from the culturally and linguistically appropriate content that's going to be available not just in the books, but also electronically. In China, there's a coordinating group translating excerpts from four sections in the book in print and digital format for both the internet and mobile phones. Coordinators there state that roughly 700 million individuals are unable to buy books because of high costs, and over the next 12 months they hope to reach about 1.5 million people, including women who can afford print resources and others who cannot. Mobile phones, however, are an increasing way to get access to information. In India, the coordinating group is in West Bengal, and they're doing a Bangla adaptation project which will serve Bangla-speaking people in West Bengal and also Bangladesh. Bangla is ranked as the fourth widely spoken language in the world behind Chinese, Spanish, and English. And as part of the project work plan, the coordinators intend to increase access to their adapted content by posting excerpts on a dedicated website. I also just want to mention that in Russia, the coordinating group, Women's Health in St. Petersburg, completed a total electronic edition because it is so difficult to publish anything in Russia. The paper is so expensive, situation is so dire that but there are kiosks everywhere where you can get onto the internet. So they produced a totally electronic version which you can access anywhere in the world. And they have reached large numbers of women of all ages. I think that I'm coming to the end of my time, so I just want to say if you want to get in touch with us, you can actually get this website, of course, off the APHA site. And our brochure in the back, which is a little thing like this, has our website and contact information for Sally Whalen and Ayesha Chatterjee, who are the two coordinators for this work. We are extremely excited by what has happened with these groups around the world. We also have just re-energized our board with some individual members who are very interested in reviving a project that would get another edition of Nuestros Cuerpos, Nuestras Vidas off the ground. And we're just now preparing a survey that will go out to all the people who worked on it, other possible stakeholders, to see what formats, what next steps would appeal to people most for producing Spanish language adapted content. And we're also going to be fundraising for that. But we've got some institutional partners interested. They don't have a lot of money, but they certainly have people who have in-kind, can provide in-kind time. And we know that there certainly will be a lot of interest. The Spanish language cultural adaptation could go a long way in meeting the needs of women, both in the United States, Canada, Mexico, and Central and South America as well. The Spanish edition, I just want, for those of you who like to get a copy, is available from Seven Stories Press, which is based in New York City. They are a very small outfit and barely do any advertising. But we're hoping that we'll figure out a way to produce another edition that will have a broader reach. Thank you so much.